Hello world, my name is Don, and you're watching Showcase for the week ending Sunday, October 16th, 2022. Stop the presses, this is our Sunday show, and that means weird headlines and your live chat comments. With me tonight, once again, is my good friend and colleague, Mr. Kaiko. How are we doing tonight?
Yes, sir, I'm here. I'm living.
Is that a cat in the background? What was that?
Yeah, that's that. Yeah, she in the cage. Cause she go far, so we put her in the cage so she can be outside. So,
okay, will she be all right for an hour? We got a show to do.
I mean, if you can, that's crazy that you can hear her. I didn't think you could hear her. She gonna do that.
Okay, all right. Well, hopefully she's been fed and pacified and all that sort of thing.
You know, she got everything she needs in there. She got everything she needs. So.
Cool. All right. Yeah. By the way, speaking of podcasting, I just want to go ahead and give a quick bit of housekeeping alert for the people at home. Basically, we have a audio podcast component for our weird news shows, our Sunday shows, because we can't do audio reactions to like visual stuff like the trailers that we do on Friday. But if you've been following along with our podcast feed, we've been trying to catch the feed up to what our YouTube content has been doing. It's been a very slow, steady process, basically. But we're actually dropping a double shot of podcast re-uploads tonight. First one right when this show ends, around 7 o'clock Eastern. And then the second time at our usual time at 10 p.m. Eastern. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Hit us up on our Linktree page, which is scrolling at the bottom of the screen. With hit us up at the Linktree page, scrolling at the bottom of the screen, basically in order to get access to the podcast content as well as all our other content for the previous year, and that contact us thing where you can submit topics for us to discuss on weird news shows and trailers for our Friday shows, all sorts of stuff. Definitely want to bookmark that if you haven't already. So let's go ahead and get rolling, I suppose. Kaiko, you ready to roll?
Let's get it.
All right. And and those of you at home, don't forget to hit that like button and subscription bell. And as always, if you're with us live, drop us a line in the live chat and we just might read it off on the air. So without any further postponement, let's go ahead and get started with this bit of screen reorganization. There we are. Alrighty. So I think I'm getting a notification from control room where I guess, I guess we're going to have to sort of deal with the chat comments a little bit differently than we usually do, but that's okay. Control, can you hit us with a sound effect? Does that still work?
Okay.
All right, so that at least works.
Room
is operating at half capacity tonight, but whatever, we'll find a way to make it work. Thank you for bearing with us, those of you at home. Let's go ahead and get started with the first topic on our list tonight, which comes to us from Huffington Post. Pennsylvania parks officials release curious statement about Bigfoot warnings. This probably won't settle the debate. This was first published 4 days ago, it looks like. Parks officials in Pennsylvania say they don't know who's posting signs warning of Bigfoot activity in the area, but it's not them. They also threw cold water on the notion that Sasquatch might be making a home in the Keystone State, or anywhere else for that matter. Wesley Robinson, press secretary for the Pennsylvania Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, told Penn Live, quote, "Bigfoot is not real," end quote. I guess let's stop there. Kaiko, do you believe in Bigfoot?
I believe in the Sasquatch. I believe in the Sasquatch. The Sasquatch. Okay. The Sasquatch was a real animal at some point. And so it could be one that survived and it is a part of many more. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like the Loch Ness Monster. I don't want to get into this, but you know, I believe these things are there, and they've been there, and they're part of a larger set.
Okay, so you think all like a tribe or something, or like a larger sort of, I guess, I don't know if community is the right word, basically.
Right.
But there's more than one Sasquatch, is what I'm hearing you say, basically.
Exactly.
Okay. Hopefully it's friendly. and more than one. Good grief. We don't need more endangered species in the world. Good grief.
You know.
The signs state that there have been encounters, in quotations, in the area, and call on visitors to, quote, observe elevated park etiquette, be cautious of your surroundings, and to keep the location of any small children or pets within a tighter scope of awareness, end quote. They also warn, do not approach the creature. Well, let's see. We have a couple of images of the signs that have been posted on social media, including one that drew a response from the conservation department, which runs the state's parks. Let's see what that says. It's not loading up in the actual article, but I can pull up the Twitter piece right here. Here we are. Okay. So, yep, this is Pennsylvania Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. They really went all out with this notification. Do not adjust your televisions. Bigfoot is on the loose. yeah, that's basically that. And somebody's actually tweeted this out. Any legitimacy to this? The response was, let's see. Nope. no legitimacy to this. Rangers are aware and are removing them and investigating the situation. These were not posted by the Pennsylvania Department of Conservation and Natural Resources and is an unauthorized use of our logo. So I guess this is a this is one of those things that sort of crosses the line into, I guess, sort of territory where, whoops, hang on a second, crosses into territory where, okay, you're impersonating a government official or a federal official. That's nasty stuff there, theoretically, but
right.
I don't know. Hopefully that gets dealt with properly. Go ahead, Keiko.
Truth of the matter is, Bigfoot, nobody just woke up one day and made up Bigfoot. Somebody saw something. Something was out there. Somebody made contact with something, and that's why the story became what it was. It's all based off a true story. Everything has a crazy origin. You know what I'm saying? It has a crazy real origin. And somebody's seen this before. And I'm saying, listen, this Bigfoot, the story, the talk of Bigfoot is dated back way before we were even thought about. You see what I'm saying? So So the thing about it is, how did one single Bigfoot now travel through these generations just as a mythical creature, or are people still seeing this? And so, you know, again, there's more than one of these things, you know?
That's plausible. I can see that.
Yeah.
I guess which sort of this is something that we'd have to sort of keep an eye on, I guess, at a cultural level, basically, as more information starts trickling out about this sort of thing, and especially as the climate change sort of situation continues on its trajectory. We got to sort of be mindful of that to the best of our ability.
If there are a village of these things, we haven't seen them because they're scared of us and they know how to hide. That's why we, you know what I'm saying? That's why we haven't seen them. So we don't have to worry about them.
That's an interesting perspective / way to phrase that, honestly, yeah. Because that actually is a useful segue to help us get to our next topic, which is something that we probably should be afraid of, quite frankly. This topic comes to us from CNN. Tesla robot slowly walks on stage at AI Day. They're coming for us, basically. This is something that we've actually talked about on this show more than once in the past, but every so often, like, we get versions of this story that are always just like, they're out there in terms of just bizarreness, and just to what end are we doing this, basically?
Right. You know,
there's a video attached to this. Let's take a look. Hopefully this is a relatively short clip. Let's see. The robot's name is Optimus, it would seem. I mean, why not? I guess because Megatron was taken.
Right.
Let's see. Will this play? I'm not entirely sure this will play on my end, but that's fine. We don't need to try that necessarily. Tell you what. We have links to this and all of our other topics for the night in the description of this stream on YouTube and Facebook. Those of you who are catching us on that platform, feel free to check out those video upload links, and you can see this and all of our other topics there. If you want to go ahead and click through that and check out this footage or anything else that we're talking about tonight on your site.
I'm surprised though that they're not trying to stop Elon Musk from doing this stuff.
Well, that's progress, I suppose. We have a comment, it looks like. Control, can we put that on screen? I'm getting a note that it will move over. Hang on, I'll just go ahead and do this on my end. Hang on, here we go. Brain Spaz says, AI will be taking over soon. Life imitating movies.
Yeah.
That's accurate and nerve-wracking. Keiko, are you ready?
I'm not ready for the AI. Listen, I'm ready for the zombie apocalypse. I'm ready for an AI takeover, and I'm ready for the purge. So if anybody wants to smoke, I got the smoke. You feel what I'm saying?
Let's hope it doesn't go that far. Let's hope it doesn't go that far. Yeah. But moving on, let's dig into this topic here and see what's going on here. Tesla revealed on Friday a prototype of a humanoid robot that it says could be a future product for the automaker. Product, not just like something that could help with the automation process of generating, you know, Tesla vehicles or other Tesla products. Like, they actually want to put Sunny in people's homes to make Will Smith nervous.
Right.
The robot, dubbed Optimus by Tesla, walked stiffly on stage at Tesla's AI Day, slowly waved at the crowd, and gestured with its hands for roughly 1 minute. Oh, okay, cool. So it can do like those hand signs from Naruto or something, right? You have so that's how they're gonna mass produce it. You're gonna have the Optimus robot do the shadow clone jutsu, and then all of a sudden that's where all the
collaboration right there. That would be the craziest collaboration ever.
Oh my goodness, I know, right? Tesla CEO Elon Musk said that the robot was operating without a tether for the first time. It's got no strings on it. Robotics developers often use tethers to support robots because they aren't capable enough to walk without falling and damaging themselves. The Optimus's abilities appear to significantly trail what robots from competitors like Hyundai-owned Boston Dynamics are capable of. Boston Dynamics robots have been seen doing backflips and performing sophisticated dance routines without a tether. Yeah, I seem to remember seeing some promotional video about that sort of thing. I think it was Boston Dynamics, and it was actually showing robots that were basically in a sprint. Control, can we disable the real-time comment feed? That's what that is. Let's take that down, please. The chat overlay. Thank you very much. Don't worry about that. I got the comments from here. Just stay on the sound effects, please, and thank you. Anyway, yeah, this is... it's one of those things where you want to root for the scientific progress of humanity, but then on the other hand, how many cautionary tales have we been given about just what is possible when scientific advancement, especially in the realm of artificial intelligence, goes fully independent of human influence or the human capacity to course correct in real time. You know, I'm not sure if we're ready for that as a species. I mean, we're clearly capable of rational thought and debate about it, but
that's what I'm saying.
But I mean, it's just, I guess we're so in love with the convenience factor of what sort of doors that opens up as far as like having the ability to sort of have technology be more hands-on in helping us live our lives more efficiently. So there are a lot of pro arguments to be made there as well. Kaiko, where do you sit on that?
I mean, you know, I'm saying I'm surprised nobody's trying to stop this fella from doing this stuff, because, you know, it's just flying, and it's just getting better and better. And I mean, nobody wants to, like you said, we want to see it happen. You know, is that what you said? That you want to see it happen? We want to see the technology expand, but like, I mean, we're doing this to ourselves. You see what I'm saying? If that's the case, you know,
and hopefully there's a happier ending than the one that we've been getting every so often in science fiction since at the very least 1984, I think was when Terminator.
I don't think so. We design the stuff we make based off of these, you know, these films and these, you know, and all this stuff that's out. We design our stuff based off of that. And I mean, you know, just like we see where the mechanics go in the movies. I mean, that's what we programmed into these things. You know what I'm
saying? Pretty much. We do have to move on, but any further thoughts you have on that, Kaiko, let me know. I can help you sort of like put together a reaction video or something. We'll do something special on TikTok, exactly. One of our social pages for that. We do have to move on.
Exactly.
But thanks so much for those of you at home for watching Weird News right here on Weekend Showcase. What's the name of the show again? Streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Twitter. And thank you for smashing that like button and notification bell. Don't forget to shoot us a comment in the live chat if you're with us live, and we just might read it off live on the air. Let's move on to the next item on the docket here. Try to move things along at a slightly better pace here. Let's see. This comes to us from UPI. Man jumps rope from sitting position for Guinness World Record. I think I've seen this before.
I got a jump rope.
Oh, no. Somebody removed the post from Instagram. Oh, no.
I'm just kidding.
We could have played that clip too, man. Oh, well, it's probably up on YouTube as well, but we don't have time to like dig for that, unfortunately.
I can do it.
Really?
I can do it.
Make a TikTok video of that. Yeah. I want to see that.
Right.
an accomplished rope jumper in Bangladesh with multiple world records. Wow. Earned another title for an unusual variant of the sport that involved sitting on the ground. I'm not sure what that acronym or prefix stands for. MD. Rasel Islam, who previously earned Guinness World Records for most double underskips in 3 minutes and most skips in 1 minute on one leg, hopped over a rope while sitting on the ground to break the record for most bum skips in 30 seconds. That is that actually the name of this record? Bum skips? Really? Wow, that's crazy.
I can't break that record, but I can do it.
Really?
I mean, you talking, what did he do? He did the most, he didn't tell you how much skips, but he did the most skips in 1 minute on one leg.
He hopped over the rope from the sitting position 117 times in 30 seconds, according to the story.
Oh, no, I can't do all that. I know I can't do that. You know,
I mean, how many can you do? Let's make a video about it. Maybe put it on the TikTok page. I don't know, which is at Weekend Showcase. Those of you on TikTok, go ahead, Kaiko.
It's not easy to jump on your butt. It's not an easy thing to do.
I've never done it, but if you want to give it a shot, go ahead. We'll put it up there. There's some content right there.
You need your legs to jump. Hold on. I don't think I've ever jumped from any place from my body other than my legs.
I mean, neither have I, but apparently it's possible. So yeah. let's figure that out a little later. Let's move on. Next topic comes to us from The Mirror, which is based out of the United Kingdom. Or at least judging by the domain, mirror.co.uk. We always say it's based in the UK. I think it is. But let's see. Lavish restaurant is hiring grape feeder who must have, quote, gorgeous hands, end quote, to apply. And then now, the subtitle, Mayfair-based Bacchanalia requires hopeful applicants to have a basic grasp of Latin, but says that regular manicures are a perk of the gig. People are joking that they are brushing up on their Greek mythology to apply. This article was first posted 12 days ago. Kaiko, your thoughts?
I got nice hands. I got tattoos on my hands, so I got nice hands. I just need a manicure, I guess, and then I need to learn some Latin, you know. And then I can. Sounds like. Listen, I would love to have a job like this. Honestly,
really?
Yeah.
So like,
it's easy. It's the easiest shit in the world. Easiest thing in the world.
Yeah. I'm trying to imagine. Well, anyway, let's move on. Let me move on for the story here. A new extravagant restaurant in London is looking for a grape feeder to join their team, but applicants have a strict criteria to follow. The brainchild of billionaire restaurant tycoon Richard Kering, Bacchanalia is set to open later this year in Mayfair. The restaurant's current job ads includes the unusual grape feeding role, where prospective employees will need gorgeous hands as well as a basic grasp of Greek and Latin. Not just Latin, you need to know Greek too.
See, but Greek, listen, Alpha, Kappa, Delta, that's Greek.
Yeah, but not everybody's been through a sorority or a fraternity. I didn't go through a frat, so it's like,
I was in college. No, that's the alphabet. Now you're trying to read words with the alphabet. You know what I'm saying? Those are the names of the letters, you know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, we have a comment from, let's see, this is Brain Spaz again. Hey, Brain Spaz. Wow, what the rich won't pay for. Oh, Kaiko, I'm sure they want sexy females to feed customers grapes. You wouldn't qualify, LOL.
Well, listen.
That's one way to put that.
If that's the case, then I'm going to get the service done then.
Oops. Yeah, that's...
I want to be fed grapes, and I will pay for that.
That's craziness. Here's the actual flyer, apparently. Let me see if I can magnify this. Here we are. Perks include regular manicures and the finest food and wine. To apply, please email, and then they have the email in there. Huh. That looks very fancy, I will say that. And look, they have a little QR code on there, so you can apply right with your smartphone right
Okay.
there. So that works.
I mean, they cut it off, though.
Interesting. Okay. Let's see. Apparently there's the Berkeley Square opening is set to transform a former Porsche showroom into a completely new space. The restaurant's website reads, quote, "This is not merely a restaurant. It is a breathtaking feast for the senses, a gathering place to feel moved, immersed in another world, its imagination on a grand and glorious scale." Yeah, but what is like, how many people do you think are going to be able to apply for that necessarily? Like, that's a very sort of narrow subset of physical and psychological qualifications, basically, knowledge qualifications, for what seems like a pretty niche job. I'm not sure about that, but hey, at least you know that if they actually find the right participants for this, you're going to get some pretty good service there, I imagine.
Scroll down a little bit. I want to see
Yeah,
that.
this
I want
was
to see
the flyer.
that. Yeah, I want to see that flyer. No, scroll. I want to see that. Look, let me see the. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Well, it's just somebody feeding someone else grapes. This is like
Right.
a Michelangelo. This looks like a Michelangelo sculpture or something, you know.
Okay, I'll pay $5 for that. 25 cents.
All right. Let's move on. Next topic. This is from SmithsonianMag.com. Dogs can smell when you're stressed out. A small study suggests that highly sensitive canine noses can pick up on the odors that frazzled humans emit. I didn't know humans emitted a stress smell. I mean, you obviously sweat when you're like working out, basically, or when you're like really nervous. But whoops, hang on. But actually, sort of quantifying it that way in terms of stress, and not necessarily something that's physical, because you can be emotionally stressed. I'm probably just overthinking the heck out of this, but I don't know. Kaiko?
I know my cats know when I'm upset or distressed. So, I mean, I feel like dogs are way more intuitive in that manner than a cat. So I could believe that entirely. I
Fair
mean,
enough.
I know that stress.
Brain spaz correcting their comment earlier. Actually, I guess they would hire men to feed grapes and lace.
Yeah, that's what I'm
Or depending
saying.
on the customer base, if they prefer if they prefer men feeding them, regardless of their gender, I'm sure that's possible. Go ahead,
If
Kaiko.
so be it, but no, I'm saying what we're saying that the what was this one?
We're still talking about dogs picking up on the
Right,
scent,
the dog.
stress sense
Oh
in the
no,
environment.
I'm saying I know stress is like a is an energy that emits from you. Even, you know what I'm saying? But you just scientifically explained it, or did the article not just scientifically explain how your stress emits from you?
Here it is. I just found it. Dogs can smell when humans are stressed, according to research published Wednesday in the journal PLOS One, PLOS1. Let me see if I can find the date on this thing. I sort of glossed over it. Here it is. September 30. We're just now finding this. Let's see. Our body's psychological stress response changes the smell of our breath and sweat, says Clara Wilson, a psychologist at Queen's University Belfast in Northern Ireland and one of the study's authors to Gizmodo's Ed Cara. Dogs can detect this change. Previous research suggests that dogs might be able to smell when humans are happy or fearful, but the researchers behind this latest study were curious about stress, an all too common reaction to the hassles of everyday life, especially amid the COVID-19 pandemic. You were just talking about your cat, Kaiko. Do you have a dog?
I don't have a dog. I had a dog. He was kind of dumb, so he ain't really.
Oh.
Listen,
Bless.
he was a stray, and he looked like he been bopped in the head a couple of times, and I wanted to take care of him, and he bit me, so I had to get rid of him. But I mean, listen, I'm saying that I talk about that dog because that's a dog that really explained to me how a dog responds to you and copes with a human. And I could say that that dog knew when I was in some type of way,
In your feelings or something, right? Let's see. Researchers exposed dogs to three different. Oh, excuse me. Hang on. Da-da-da-da-da. Here we are. Okay, so here we are. To probe whether four-legged friends can detect stress, scientists recruited four dogs and 36 humans to participate in an experiment. They took sweat and breath samples from the human volunteers during two scenarios, a baseline control condition and a stressful condition that required them to do mental math. Oh man, not a lot of things more stressful than math, let me tell you. That can get extra real quick. Separately, the team trained their canine participants to recognize a stressed out odor sample. The researchers then exposed these dogs to three different scents, a standard piece of gauze, a sample from an unstressed human, and a stressed odor sample. The four dogs were incredibly adept at sniffing out the stressed sample, achieving a combined 93.8% accuracy rate. Though the study was small, the findings suggest that humans who are stressed out may emit odors that differ from their normal smell, different enough at least that dogs' highly sensitive noses can tell something is up. This was said to NBC News' Linda Carroll, quote, "This study provides further evidence of the extraordinary capabilities of man's best friend." So there we go. That quote was from Clara Wilson, one of the study's authors, and that's one of the test dogs involved in the study, named Leon. I guess that's the name of the dog there. And we also have a piece of viewer engagement. This comes to us from Ms. D. Let's throw that up here. Maybe your dog understood you, but you didn't understand the dog. How bad did he bite you, Keiko?
I understood that dog. I was trying to take care of that dog, and then now he bit me pretty hard. He bit my hand, and my hand punctured. I had like three bite marks in my hand.
Whoa!
And then he's a stray dog. You know what I'm saying? So I was scared. You know, I screamed at the.
Did you get like a rabies shot or something?
I should have got a shot, but I ain't get no shot. I don't have no rabies.
Okay. Careful. You got a thing on the side of your mouth as you said that. Is there like a little like white foamy looking thing there? I don't know. Maybe you get a napkin or something. I'm kidding.
No.
You actually checked though. That's what's funny. You like checked for a split second.
You know, like, I mean, you know, if you tell me I gotta get something, I gotta get it. You know what I'm saying? I can't leave it there.
These are jokes. Do not mistake anything said here for like medical advice or anything like that. We have a disclaimer in the description of this video for specifically that purpose. So just to be clear.
I was embarrassed for a second. I was like, oh,
No. Don't get it twisted. We're gonna swipe left on that whole line of thought here. Don't worry. We're about halfway through the list of topics right now. Thanks so much for watching Weird News. Those of you at home, right here on Weekend Showcase, streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Twitter. Thanks so much for smashing that like button and notification bell. Don't forget to hit us up in the live chat with your thoughts and comments in real time, and we just might bring it up here on the show and engage in the conversation a little bit more. Let's go ahead and move on to the next topic here, which comes to us from National Public Radio. Damien Hirst just burned 1,000 of his paintings and will soon burn thousands more. This was first published 4 days ago. Goodness. I don't know that name. I don't know who this Damien Hirst person is. Keiko?
Oh, I'm just saying. I get him. I feel him. I understand his pain.
Really?
I get it, but I mean...
How? I just read the headline.
I mean, cause no, I know about an artist and wanting to burn paintings. You know, if nobody else knows about an artist burning paintings, it's me. You know, so I get him. I feel him.
I saw a thing in the news over the course of the summer. Banksy, I think it was one of Banksy's paintings was put up at auction, and it was so crazy. The painting was rigged to self-destruct in the event that it was actually sold. So what happened was the auction went through, the gavel was put down, the sale was closed. And then as soon as the sale was closed, some like buzz saws basically popped out through the painting and just shredded it from within the frame.
Mm.
It was crazy. Like I actually found that video somewhere. I don't have the link anymore because we didn't categorize it in our backlog of weird news. I probably should find it again, but anyway. Let's see. Oh, we have a comment from Brain Spaz. Was that guy having a bipolar attack or something? I don't know. Let's read into the story a little bit further and try to find out. British artist Damien Hirst is among the many art world giants who have set fire to their work, having burned 1,000 of his artworks on Tuesday. he streamed the event on Instagram and is set to burn thousands more works of art. It's part of his project called The Currency. It consists of a collection of 10,000 non-fungible tokens. Each NFT corresponds to a physical painting featuring his signature multicolored dots made from enamel paint on handmade paper. The pieces were initially available for $2,000, which is affordable compared with what Hearst's work has been known to go for. Quote, "A lot of people think I'm burning millions of dollars of art, but I'm not. I'm completing the transformation of these physical artworks into NFTs by burning the physical versions. The value of art, digital or physical, which is hard to define at the best of times, will not be lost. It will be transferred to the NFT as soon as they are burnt," end quote. That's from Hearst himself in an Instagram caption. I have a thing on that, but first, Kaiko, what's your thought on this?
I still get him, but like he kind of switched up on me. I thought he did it for a different reason, but I mean, I don't agree with him at the same time with that.
This is so a video. You don't really buy the logic in going through this kind of a destructive process under the auspices of immortalizing whatever you're doing as an NFT. That's not enough.
Right.
Like, if it's physical.
Right. I don't see the point of I don't see. Because he burnt the thing. He just said he did it on real paper. So he made it with his hands.
Yeah.
He made 1,000 of them. And I'm saying, so he, like, he wasted a lot of time. He just to burn it.
But it's not gone. Like I said,
it's not gone. I get that. NFT, so I get that. But you lost your original work, and your original work might be worth more. You know, let's say the apocalypse go down, and all the technology gone, and all you have left is just like two pieces of this paper. It's gonna be worth some money. So people want to rebuild museums and put artwork in the museums. That's what they're gonna. That's what they want.
That's a little harsh, and what I was gonna say earlier was personally, like, I don't buy this basically as a sound thing to do personally, but then I'm not an artist, really, certainly not on this order. But
I thought he was doing it for a different reason, and
yeah.
So,
no, this is just basically to cement the rarity of the NFTs. I mean, things are only rare or at least valuable because of two things: scarcity and trust, right? In the sense of I trust someone else's judgment that a thing is scarce, or I'm being trusted that this thing that I'm presenting as scarce and therefore rare is actually scarce and or rare. The second that trust is broken, or the second that something that's rare, that's valuable, is duplicated past the point of value, then that the value is broken. It's no longer rare. It's no longer valuable.
Right.
You know? So it's like everything kind of like, not just in terms of currency, but anything that has a determinable sort of value to an individual or to a culture, to a group of people, you know, to a significant extent, it's all built around that sense of that symbiotic relationship in this context,
right,
between trust and scarcity. And, you know, this kind of manufactured scarcity, I don't know, this looks like a Banksy level sort of like artistic expression in and of itself, but I don't know. That's just my personal sort of feedback on that. Like I said, I'm not an artist. Don't shoot the messenger. We have another comment coming to us from YouTube. Here's BrainSpaz again. How is dot art worth so much money? I mean, just a bunch of dots. People think it's worth big bucks. I don't get it. Yeah, that's just basically because of the value of, it's more of an attempt to reinforce the value of its corresponding NFT more than the actual physical medium that by virtue of this happening doesn't exist anymore, obviously.
But the real question, see, BrainSpaz is really asking, why would this image, even as a digital image, sell for so much money? And the thing about it is, I'm mad about this because you can't ever like de-level a piece of artwork. You can't say to somebody, oh, that artwork is not worth something. But see, he didn't invent polka dots on a piece of paper, so how come he's the one that, you know, put this out there? I got the same pattern at Hobby Lobby. I got it on a piece of paper and a little felt, the same polka dots. I paid $2.99 for both of these things, He's just selling this online for $2,000. I don't understand. I'm saying I can't knock him for his artwork, but I don't get it either. I don't get it either.
I guess you just have to be in his mind to sort of understand right. The logic behind making like Usher and letting it burn. I guess I shouldn't have used that reference. All right, never mind. Strike that from the record. fair enough. It's been too many years since that song. Understood. Anyway, let's move on to the next topic, which, by the way, those of you at home, thanks so much for watching Weird News right here on Weekend Showcase, streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Twitter. And thank you for smashing that like button and notification bell. Don't forget to shoot us a live chat comment in our chat feed if you're with us live, and we might put it up on the air. And otherwise, you know, hey, shoot us a message or something via the Linktree website that we have scrolling at the bottom of the screen right now. If you have a suggestion for a weird news topic or a trailer, because we do movie trailer reactions on Friday, or if you have any dad jokes, don't forget, we have a special dad joke of the day segment coming up at the end of the show today. So yeah, if you have suggestions for any of the above, shoot us a note in the contact us section on that Linktree page, and we'll be happy to incorporate it and maybe even give you a little shout out. So let's go ahead and move on to the next topic on the list, which comes to us from UPI again. 8 skydivers over age 80, execute a formation above Florida. Well, that's one way to spend retirement, I suppose. Let's see. Yep, I can see my grandkids from here. That's definitely the caption of that particular thing there. A group of 8 skydivers over age 80 jumped out of a plane above Florida and broke a world record for the largest formation of jumpers in their age group. So this has been done before. What was the previous record? How often is this done?
Right.
That's exactly. My first question. But the Jumpers Over 80 Society, or JOES, they have an acronym. I love that. Organized the attempt at Skydive DeLand as part of a 3-day event for the International Skydiving Hall of Fame celebration. 8 JOES members made the jump and arranged themselves into formation to break the world record, which previously stood at 6 jumpers. Okay, so they only brought 2 more. Let's see. One of the jumpers, Cliff Davis, told WKMG-TV, quote, "Many of us have made significant contributions to the modern sport of skydiving over the years, and we are all proud to represent our sport with a demonstration that illustrates how the skills and expertise of our team is timeless and are always evolving," end quote. Yeah, I am not skydiving like now or as a senior citizen. Tyco, what about you?
I mean, I want to skydive. I just fear that the backup parachute is going
to
fail.
That's my biggest fear too, basically. That chalks up. That's relevant to the same sort of idea of, oh my goodness, I'm afraid of heights. I don't like being in a roller coaster. It's funny. Last night I was at this is real. Last night I happened to I was out with some friends and we went to this this farm state fair sort of thing, and I actually went on a little mini Ferris wheel that was at that event. So like, but it wasn't a very big gigantic Ferris wheel. Basically, it was like probably I guess medium size. I think basically, as far as maybe small medium size as far as like the relative, you know, size of Ferris wheels goes. It wasn't like that famous Ferris wheel that's in what is it, Santa Monica, California, I think that's that was immortalized in Grand Theft Auto 5. It's not something that size that you basically can see from low.
Now Atlanta, if you look up the Atlanta, like the city silhouette thing, you know how cities got silhouettes of the whole city, right?
Sure.
So if you look up the Atlanta silhouette, in that silhouette you'll see a Ferris wheel, because Atlanta got a big Ferris wheel. Got his real big Ferris wheel. I've been on that Ferris wheel. That Ferris wheel so high. That Ferris wheel. You see the whole city.
I hope you recorded some footage of that.
I'll do it again. I'll do it again. You know, that would be a good. Yeah, you were about to say the same thing.
Hey, when you do, you can definitely put that footage on our TikTok account for us, because that we got to get. We're getting that's in the rotation of like putting footage on there regularly. Those of you who are on TikTok, we're there at Weekend Showcase, the same little user ID that we use on all of our social pages. It's at Weekend Showcase on TikTok.
Right.
So yeah, definitely make sure to follow us there if you haven't already, because we've been pumping out a lot of interesting short form content there recently. Special shout out to Alonzo, our video editor, who's been instrumental in making sure that we have some really cool clips for y'all to look at. So let's go ahead and move on to the next item on the docket. Let's see, which comes to us from the Mirror. This is back to the UK again. Whoa, check out this. I probably should have run this right after the burning artwork thing. This is a way more fire. Wow. This is a sinkhole nicknamed the Gates of Hell, and it has been burning since the 1970s. I'm speechless at this image alone is flooring me right here, that this sort of thing, number one, exists, and number two, has been burning for literally decades continuously. You're supposed to run out of kindling. How in the world, you know, is this happening? I don't know. Let's see. This is a, oh, never mind. This is a gas pit. Yeah, that's not one of the unfortunate, tragic brush fires or forest fires that we've been getting plagued by over here in America, mainly on the West Coast of America in recent years. But let's see. This is way different. The Darvaza sinkhole in Turkmenistan first appeared in 1971. Wow. Just over 50 years. Just over 50 years. When a Soviet oil drilling mission caused a large amount of soil to unexpectedly collapse into an underground cave, creating a large hole that emitted methane gas. It has been continuously smoldering since it was set on fire as a public health measure by geologists a few weeks later, who reportedly expected it to burn out in only a few weeks. Cut to the SpongeBob narrator, 50 years later. Oh my God. The 230 feet wide pit now creates an otherworldly spectacle in the wide open plains of the Karakum Desert. Apologies if I'm pronouncing that wrong. And has even started to attract international tourists since the fall of the Iron Curtain. And that is, yep, there it is. You can see right there with some people on either side of that gigantic pit for size comparison. That really does look like it goes, let's just say, all the way down. when you actually sort of view that image in those terms, that's freaky. Wow. Let's see. One brave explorer, Greek-Canadian storm chaser George Kouronis, even ventured inside back in 2013, becoming the first known human to ever step foot into the burning pit. Wearing a protective foil suit, the adventurer could be seen walking down to the base of the crater where he collected a number of soil samples. Describing the intense fiery conditions to U.S. travel magazine Atlas Obscura during his dig, he revealed, "Fire would start coming out of the hole I just freshly dug, as his disturbance of the ground created new paths for the gas to come out of the crater." Wow. And, let's see. Not everyone wants to see the fire rage on, however, and yeah, this is the guy, I just scrolled past this picture. Turkmenistan's former autocrat president, Gurbanguly Berdimuhamedov, I'm so sorry, I don't know how to pronounce this name, I apologize. Gurbanguly Berdimuhamedov? That's the best pronunciation I have for that, I really apologize. But Turkmenistan's former president announced a mission earlier this year to track down experts to help end the sinkhole. He previously tried unsuccessfully to close it back in 2010, making a renewed vow to close the so-called Gates of Hell in January. He said, quote, "We are creating and will continue to create all necessary conditions for the development of the colossal hydrocarbon resources of our independent motherland in the interests of our people," end quote. So, yeah, that's... Man, Keiko, would you ever visit something like this? Hopefully not.
I would love to go there. No, I would love to go there. I want to go there. I'm making a trip.
Why?
I want to see it. I want to see it. I have to
just for the spectacle of it? Just to say that you went there?
I have to see it. Yeah, I have to see it. That's amazing.
I mean, it is amazing, but I wouldn't go there. Don't forget, that's a gas fire. So it's like you got to be aware of the heat and the fumes. That's...
But there's people right there. And then that people
right
there.
Yeah, but like most of them you'll notice are usually at like a somewhat of a safe distance. I don't know what's happening with this person in the far background. Because that's right like, there. Geez, don't look over too far. You're going to fall right in. at that
right.
At that
particular that's why I want to stand right where that guy is at, right there on the edge, and look down.
Like he's looking like he's like dropping a coin in to sort of see how deep it goes.
Right. I want to make a wish in the
oh,
gates
my goodness. No, no, no. That's terrible.
Let's
move on to the next topic. But before we do, just a quick reminder, thank those of you at home for watching Weird News right here on Weekend Showcase, streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Twitter. And thank you for smashing that like button and notification bell and subbing and following, you know what I mean. And don't forget to send us a comment in our live chat feed if you haven't already, and we just might incorporate your responses and engagements in our show in real time, or almost real time. This was a little bit delayed from Ms. D over 80. Wow, that's death-defying brave. Not me ever. I guess this is in reaction to the story we just did before the fiery pit about the collection of over 80 people that gathered in Florida to break a world record for skydiving together, basically. I'm definitely plus winning that comment there. There's no way I would do that. But more power to him. More power to him. That's one way to live through your retirement, right? There you go. But anyway, let's go ahead and move on to the next item on the docket here, which is from the Mirror once again. Asda shopper alarmed after spotting a strange white spot on bananas she bought. Oh, come on, browser. Come on. There we go. So an Asda shopper has caused a stir online after making an alarming discovery on a bunch of bananas she purchased from the supermarket. After checking over the state of her bananas, she rushed to the Facebook group Family Lowdown Tips and Ideas to see if anyone could explain just what was wrong with them, as she'd spotted a bizarre mark. She shared the picture of the fruit alongside her message, showing off a white bulge on the side of her purchase. The unnamed Asda customer wrote, "Anybody have any idea what this white spot is on my banana? Brought from Asda yesterday." End quote. First reaction, Kaiko?
So I was like anticipating to see what kind of spot it was, and then I see it and it's like, wow, it looks like a tumor.
Oh goodness. I was bracing for just mold of some kind, you know, like some form of mold that just forms a what looks like a white spot, basically, on this particular fruit.
Well, that's a life force. That's a life force. Listen, let me screenshot this and send me the screenshot. I'm going to make a whole video telling you what I think this is.
Well, you don't have to screenshot it like that. You can actually visit the source article website and just get the actual picture yourself, theoretically. Okay. Which you can do at home as well. If you check our description on the YouTube or Facebook page, you can see the links to all of our topics that we're discussing tonight, including this one, if you'd like to do any further reading on any of the topics that we're discussing tonight. But go ahead, Kaiko.
That's that same pimple that Chris had that was making him do bad stuff.
Say again?
I said that's the same pimple that Chris from Family Guy had that was making him
stuff. I remember that episode. Oh my God, that was crazy. I don't remember which season that was, but I remember that episode vividly. That's crazy. Almost that, and another example is Elmer from Fairly Odd Parents, the kid with the boil. Same thing.
Yeah, the boil. The boil.
The boil would always say stuff like, "Silence, you fool," or something. You know what I mean? It was almost like, it almost sounded like Stewie, which brings us back over to Family Guy.
Oh, that's right. Funny. Exactly.
Anyway, Ms. D is not a fan of this particular thing. She commented in our feed, "Gross, with spaces in between individual letters of the word, with two extra S's at the end of the word, gross." Very simple and apt encapsulation of the sentiment that this particular image has earned. Let's go ahead and read a little bit further here. Let's see. One reply commented, "That looks like a spider's egg sack. Whoa, put it in a bag and tie it. I would take it back." A second person added, "This happened to me last year. Bought some bananas and got a free spider's nest with wee tiny spiders coming out of it." Another person simply said, definitely a spider in there. Go ahead, Kaiko.
It's common. That's common. That happened in the banana.
I've never heard of this happening before. You've heard of this?
Yeah.
Wait. You're saying this is common. Have you heard of this happening firsthand?
Oh yeah. Listen, in Grenada, when they send the bananas to America, they got a lot of spiders in these bunches of bananas. Yeah, man. They get in there. These spiders like
Wow,
bananas.
I never knew that. And I've certainly never seen it before in this
Yep.
particular fashion. Those of you who are listening to the audio podcast version of this episode, you definitely need to head over to the video version of this episode over on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter or Twitch. I think we'll still be archiving the Twitch episodes at that point. But yeah, you definitely need to see this. Like there's no other way to describe this. I mean, it just looks on the surface like it's just a regular sort of like mold sort of thing that happens to look like a perfect circle, but nope, that's a
Right.
spider egg, I guess, sort of infused within and the banana, and I guess presumably using the banana itself as a source of nutrients while the spider is growing. Kaiko, I'm surprised to hear you sort of like describing this in such terms, given how into spiders you are generally.
Now, not this white spot. I've never seen this white spot, but I know that spiders are found in the bananas, but now there's been a couple cases of the little spiders coming out of sacks, but mostly it's big spiders that come out
yeah.
of the bananas.
No,
so,
no,
you know.
Yeah, and apple a day keeps the doctor away, but this kind of banana keeps me away.
Right.
That's just the takeaway.
Right.
That's the takeaway that I'm getting this.
Check your banana. Now, I'm surprised that they even let this banana fly into the
yeah.
selection. Like, how, no, you got to check the bananas. Everybody got to check.
Ms. D says, oh, no, really gross. Common? Glad I've never seen spider sex in my bananas.
Yeah.
Ditto, but now I know what to look out
yeah,
for.
Yeah, yeah, look, you got to check. You got to check. No, but they check for it. They're supposed to check for it. You check
what
for that kind of stuff. You got to check the fruit. You know, you got to check the fruit. You can't let this kind of stuff. Nah, you know. She got to get money for this.
Well, this is I guess a public
you know?
Service announcement there. Make sure to check your produce and have your pet spayed or neutered.
Yeah,
anyway,
right.
Let's move on. Let's move on. Next item comes to us from Reuters. Let's see. Elon Musk sells $1 million worth of new perfume called Burnt Hair.
Nice. Move on. I have nothing to say.
I can't
move
on. We just started this. This is in our docket. We got to cover it. We got to talk about it a little bit. A little bit. The world's richest man, Elon Musk, has scented a new opportunity to capitalize on quirky products, launching a perfume called Burnt Hair that he said sold 10,000 bottles to earn $1 million in just a few hours. Musk said on Twitter, where he now describes himself as a perfume salesman, of course. He says, quote, with a name like mine, getting into the fragrance business was inevitable. Why did I even fight it for so long? End quote. Okay, this reads like an Onion article. Like, why is this coming from Reuters? You know? Or Reuters. I think it's how it's pronounced. I'm honestly not sure. I think it's Reuters. I might be wrong there. Anyway, let's see. The Essence of Repugnant Desire is the website description of his latest offering, which costs $100 a bottle and is set to start shipping in the first quarter of 2023, making good on a product Musk first touted in September. Previous brainwaves have included Tesla's own brand Tequila, launched in 2020, and a pair of short shorts to signify Musk's victory over investors who bet against the electric vehicle maker, now the world's most valuable car firm. Yeah.
Is he this guy worse than Kanye?
Wow. That's quite an observation, given some of Kanye's recent comments, which we're not going to get into here. But I'm sure pretty much
right.
the whole world has read into that news over the course of this last week. It's a mess. It's a hot mess.
Man. He up there. Listen, he up there though. He up there.
Anyway, those of you at home, what do you think? Would you pay $100, or would you, or anybody that you know, pay anything for perfume that claims to be the scent of burnt hair? What possible application could there be for that? You know, I don't. This is. I don't know. To me, this
are
sounds like some. This sounds like. Perfume or fragrance marketing along the lines of something I would expect from a Gwyneth Paltrow or something, you know, like I'm sure I don't need to explain that reference. Kaiko, you sounded like you had another thing.
No, I was saying I use Spider-Man cologne. That's my cologne. That's the only cologne I need in
okay.
my life. I mean, no, but this is perfume. This isn't cologne.
So,
so
how is it marketed? Yeah. It's like it smell. However, it's spider scent. You can smell like however a spider smells. I don't know.
No, that's basically, listen, it just smell like celebrity. You smell like a celebrity.
But which celebrity? Maguire, Garfield, or Holland?
Probably all three of them at the same time, which is a which is a which is probably a reason why I need to take it back. I need
yeah,
to take
let,
it back.
let's hope you kept the receipt on that. Anyway, let's move on. Thanks so much for watching Weird News. Right here on Weekend Showcase, streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Twitter. And thank you for smashing that like button and notification bell. Don't forget to send us your comments if you're with us live in the live chat down below, if you're with us on any of these platforms. And also, we have content running on our Linktree page, which is in the link that's scrolling at the bottom of the screen right now. If you have suggestions for trailers we can review on Friday or weird news headlines that we can discuss here, just please, nothing too religious or political. And yeah, and there's also a contact us box there for not just that purpose, but to suggest dad jokes, which will be coming up at the end of the show tonight. Dad joke of the day. We're looking forward to that. I know you're looking forward to that as well, Kaiko, right?
Oh, yeah.
I see you have that that net in the background.
That was a true. Oh yeah, I got a net.
Yeah,
I'm
you're ready for it.
Go ahead, listen.
For those who don't recall, the net is Kaiko's sort of like thing for that was terrible. I'm gonna go ahead and put that in a butterfly net and throw it away, basically. That joke was atrocious. It was my extreme displeasure to have that sound slither down my ear canal. That dad joke. Yuck.
All right, let's hear it.
We have three more topics to go and about four minutes left. Let's go ahead and get rolling here. See if we can rapid fire this. Arizona cryonics facility preserves bodies to revive later. Okay, I can think of a scientist in Gotham City that would love to have some more information about that. Time and death are on pause for some people in Scottsdale, Arizona. This is from Reuters again, first published 4 days ago. Inside tanks filled with liquid nitrogen are the bodies and heads of 199 humans who opted to be cryopreserved in hopes of being revived in the future when science has advanced beyond what is capable today. Many of the patients, in quotes, as Alcor Life Extension Foundation calls them, were terminally ill with cancer, ALS, or other diseases with no present-day cure. So, Kaiko, grim question, but I gotta ask because it's relevant. If you had a life-threatening illness that there was no cure for, would you be okay with freezing yourself? You know, just go through the Philip Fry treatment until, you know, some point in the future where theoretically humanity would have a cure?
That's a hard question. No. Because how do I know that the world is going to be around in the time that I'm supposed to be revived? You don't know.
I mean, you're doing that gesture on faith, true, but the alternative is certain death in the near term. So,
but I mean, listen, I don't know. Nah, I wouldn't do it. I just go ahead and bite the bullet.
Well, I mean, so long as you're not awake the entire time, that's the other thing. Because my biggest fear is, I guess, what in the medical community it calls locked-in syndrome, where you're paralyzed completely, top to bottom. You need, like, artificial assistance, like, usually to, like, stimulate your muscles properly. I'm describing it really wrong, but sometimes you need, like, assistance just to breathe if it gets, like, really, really bad. But there are people who, like, locked-in syndrome makes it so, like, you can't talk. You can't move anything. You have no way to really communicate. Right. All you have is like your eyes, barely. Sometimes it gets so bad that you have to like use special tears, eyedroppers. Like the nurse assistant, I guess, would have to do that periodically to just keep your eyes hydrated, basically. You know, because you're just so completely permanently immobilized. And it strikes me that that's sort of the same sort of nightmare. You know, if you're completely physically incapable of moving, but you're awake. You're lucid, you're alert. It's for years, for decades, centuries. What kind of absolute nightmare that would be. I know that, you know, cryogenic freezing doesn't actually like operate in those terms, but I mean, there have been cases where people, you know, on the operating table are unintentionally, you know, left awake during the procedure. It's rare, but it can happen, you know? And it's like, I can't imagine living through that. Like, I would have to agree with you, Kaiko. I can't see that being a thing to try. Unless, of course, you're the type of person who would actually voluntarily do that sort of thing for yourself. Like this topic right here, which comes to us from UPI. Patient plays saxophone while undergoing brain surgery in Italy. Yep, this is somebody who's going through brain surgery and is awake enough to play an instrument.
What?
Yes. Do not adjust your television. We control the horizontal and the vertical. This is happening here. Doctors in Italy shared in details of a recent delicate brain surgery during which the patient remained awake and playing the saxophone. Padilla International Hospital in Rome said in a news release that the 35-year-old patient, identified as GZ, was kept awake and played his saxophone during the 9-hour surgery to remove a tumor from his brain. Keiko? I guess Miss D is agreeing with
Hey,
your sentiment. Like
I
Keiko
thought
said, what? Sorry, go ahead, Keiko.
that the fire pit was like wow, but what?
I think that it's almost like
Like
we're
this
talking about
guy,
weird news tonight. Weird, huh?
that's crazy. That's real. That's crazy. That's crazy. I'm gonna talk about that a lot, you know, for the next upcoming
Does
week.
doctors said the musical performance allowed the surgeons to map the different functions of his brain as they operated. Dr. Christian Brogno, who led the surgery team, said in a release, quote, "Awake surgery makes it possible to map with extreme precision during surgery the neuronal networks that underlie the various brain functions, such as playing, speaking, moving, remembering, and counting. The goal of awake surgery is to remove the brain tumor or a vascular malformation, such as cavernomas, located in specific areas of the brain while preserving the patient's quality of life," end quote. Brogna said the surgery was a success. Final thoughts on this one, Keiko, before we move on?
I don't know what I don't
He's
know what to say.
speechless.
It just got someone burning. I'm speechless. I'm speechless. And then as soon as like my head, someone's burning some wood or something. And as soon as you asked me that, and do I have final thoughts? I was like, I don't know what to say. And then the atmosphere changed. I was like, what's going on right now? Is this real? Is this
Oh no,
reality right now?
this is not Memrex. This is live and in living color.
I was
Yeah, I
like,
that's
yeah,
insanity to me. I don't even know how that's. I can't imagine.
that's
I mean, I
crazy.
see. I understand. That makes sense. The explanation. I can see the medical utility in doing it. But oh my goodness, the anesthesia that the person would have to be under, such that they're not completely out, but they're numb enough to do to go through what's called a craniotomy to like remove the part of the skull. For to get access to the brain, why am I miming this out on myself? You know, it's like what well, it's hard to wrap my mind around what was wrapped around this guy's mind.
No,
That's
that's
crazy.
wow.
But it's weird news, and that's the sort of thing we talk about every single Sunday right here on our weird news shows on Weekend Showcase. Thanks so much for watching along with us live. Those of you watching on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, or Twitter. We have one last topic, and then we're going to go ahead and start to wind the show down. Let's take a look. This last one comes to us from Fox News. The New York Green Goblin subway assault suspect arrested and released without bail. Maybe we should have done this right after your Spider-Man comment there. That would have been a better segue, maybe. But let's see. Oh, there's a video. Well, there was. Let me see. Hold on. Oh, nope, that's green body suits. Never mind, that's a different thing. All right, whatever. A woman accused of being a member of the so-called Green Goblin gang that attacked two teenagers on a Manhattan subway train. Oh, then this is that video. Turned herself in on Monday, there's a typo, and was released Tuesday without bail. The New York Police Department said Miriam Issouf, age 26, was arrested Monday in connection with the October 2nd assault on the northbound N platform at the 42 Street Time 42nd Street Times Square subway station. The two 19-year-old female victims told NYPD officers they were engaged in a verbal dispute with a group of unidentified individuals. As the dispute escalated, the victims were pushed and punched as they tried to enter a train car and had items stolen from them. The suspects, who were captured on video wearing neon green bodysuits, fled the location. Both victims sustained minor injuries and refused medical attention. A mother of one of the victims said her daughter was celebrating her birthday when she was attacked and called the suspects complete animals. And the mom added, quote, "All these men sitting there taking videos and watching, and none of them helped while a group of 10 women were beating two young girls," end quote. Yeah, this almost reminds me of that scene from, I don't know if you saw that Marvel film, Shang-Chi. Yeah, there's a
Nah.
scene in that film that takes place on a
Huh.
bus, on one of those like two those two vehicle like extended buses basically. It's him, it's Shang-Chi against a bunch of assassins and a bunch of other like civilians and other passengers, and the driver obviously are all witnessing this guy going through an elaborate fight basically, and the bus is kind of falling apart. It's really elaborately like staged and storyboarded and shot and performed. It was arguably like the best scene in that entire movie is that bus side. It's really amazing. Those of you who have Disney Plus ought to check that movie
Right.
out if you haven't already. Go ahead, Keiko.
No, I was just agreeing with you.
Yeah, but there's a scene in that movie during that bus fight that they have a character who does exactly what we're talking about being described here, basically. Like he takes his phone out and starts broadcasting onto like IG or TikTok or whatever, and starts doing running commentary
Right.
on the fight that he's watching take place on the bus. And that's what immediately comes to mind. It's like there's something to, I guess, that kind of instinctive, just I don't think voyeurism is the right word, but that's the only thing that came to mind right now. But just the idea, the desire to sort of be first to get exclusive rare footage that people want to watch over and over, basically, because it was just so unbelievable or so crazy or so funny or so dangerous. And just the exclusivity of being able to say that you were there and your best possible angle of
Right.
getting the most accurate account of what happened can only come from you, which I guess also sort of circles back to the conversation that we were having earlier about the, oh geez, what was it? Darn it. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Trying to find where the thing is. Ah, darn it. I can't find the original topic. We did a topic earlier tonight, basically that was talking about the idea of people sort of doing things just out of just raw spectacle. And some of that sort of extending to just this sort of thing where you're just videotaping something and not even really trying to help with whatever the situation is. I don't know. Kaiko, have you ever seen anything like that?
Something
No, no,
like
no.
this?
Like people just, taking out their phones instead of being actually productive, especially if it's an emergency. You think we'll ever sort of get over that
And it is
instinct
a
to do that as a species, I guess, as a culture?
Right. Listen, if I see something going on, I just walk away. Unless I
Right.
can help. If I can't help, listen, I'm leaving. I don't care. I don't want evidence on my phone.
I mean,
I don't need people questioning
no.
me. I don't know nothing,
I mean, but if someone's life is at stake, you got to step in a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if I can help, I help,
Right.
I'm not putting my life in danger, though.
Well, what do you think, those of you at home? I mean, do you agree? Do you disagree? Like,
Right.
what would you do if you were a bystander for something of this nature? Send us a comment, And I guess that basically is the end of our topic roster for today. Thanks so much for
Okay.
tuning in and joining in the conversation with us tonight as we were doing weird news, basically for the last hour. We have one last segment coming up tonight for which is the dad joke of the day. But first of all, what was your favorite topic, Kaiko?
I'm gonna have to go into brain
Brain
surgery.
surgery was your favorite one for the night?
That's the most mind-boggling thing, literally.
I'm hearing your cat in the background right now.
She's trying to add a
She
few
needs
cents.
a. I guess she's looking to get a saucer of milk or something like after this is done, maybe. I don't know. Perhaps, possibly. But anyway. Okay. Yeah. All right. So the saxophone thing. I'm inclined to agree. The rest of these things were either kind of hoaxes or kind of semi non-news or just too disturbing to really call a favorite, like the Gates of Hell thing. But it's.
That's my other favorite one is the
Really?
Gates of Hell.
Okay, well, in that case, how about you take that one and I'll take the saxophone one? You want to take that one? Okay, fine. All right, so.
We can give light to both situations
Say
here,
again?
but what I said, so we can give light to both of them, but That saxophone thing is crazy.
Absolutely. I'm still blown away by that one. But I guess that's, we knew what we were coming into tonight, talking about weird news. Y'all know how we do it every Sunday night. So there you go. But anyway, what about you? Those of you at home, shoot us a note, comment down below to continue the convo. Feel free to visit us at Weekend Showcase on all major social media platforms or linktr.ee/weekendshowcase, like in the description and the crawl at the bottom of the screen to see it all in one place. And we have one more piece of business to get to, which is dad joke of the day. You're already shaking your head, Kaiko.
How unfortunate.
Oh, come on. You love this segment. Jeez. All right. Here we are. Let's see. Okay. Here we are. This year's dad joke of the day. Here we are. This one's a bit of a thinker. This year's Fibonacci convention is going to be really special. Apparently, it's as big as the last two put together.
Say it again.
This year's Fibonacci convention is going to be really special. Apparently, it's as big as the last two put together.
I don't know what a Fibonacci is, so you know, you lost me with that one.
Well, let me see. Just for, because I need to refresh my own memory, honestly, basically. But for those of you who don't know offhand, in mathematics, the Fibonacci numbers is basically, let's see, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21. So the Fibonacci numbers, each number is the sum of the two preceding ones.
Listen, take that one, ball it up, and Kobe, you know what I'm saying?
I said it was a thinker. I needed to jog my own memory about what that one was, but it's like, all right, that was a bit too much. You know what? All right, fine. Let me do a different one then. Here we are. Let's see. All right, I got a good one. How about this? You'll like this one.
All right.
An apple a day keeps the doctor away. At least it does if you throw it hard enough.
Yes, sir.
So my microphone here isn't sensitive enough, but I can hear in the other room the control operator groaning loudly. At this particular, one there. That was a very control. Are you all right in there? Can you give us a rim shot if you are? Is it? Do we have a rim shot? Uh oh. Oh shoot! Somehow the control room lagged out. Wow. I might have to address control room. maybe try to get some help in there. Which actually is perfect timing because we are basically at the end of our show tonight. So that brings us to a close for Weird News tonight for the week ending Sunday, October 16, 2022. Thank you so much at home for watching. We will see you right here this coming Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 Pacific for another new trailer reaction show. We hope to see you then. For now, I'm Don. With me tonight was...
Young Kaiko.
Thanks so much for joining again. Everybody be safe. Hope you had a great weekend. Showcase you later. Good night.
All right.